You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
The Around the NFL Podcast. It's hump day.
Yes, it is. Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast presented by New Era. My name is Dan Hanses, and I am joined in a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Hump day, YOLO!
Little concerned that Dan is progressing through hump day by drinking LaCroix, whatever that stuff is, the soda that you're drinking. It's just
Love
not
LaCroix.
A drink. No, I don't match. Mm. It does not match well with the Dan
so
Hanses persona that I have come
Well, maybe
to know.
It's time for everyone should evolve. We've known each other for many years.
Mm-hmm. This is evolution?
And if you think I'm just going to be drinking a big old bottle of Yoo-Hoo for the rest of my life.
Diet Coke.
I'm not asking for Yoo-Hoo. It was not a request for you to back cycle into Yoo-Hoo, but it does not fit you.
Do you want
I think
to
it fits
backstory?
Perfectly with a guy this concerned about his hair and just loving hair products. It's like right in on brand.
I have LaCroix backstory. LaCroix, which if you're not aware, is a flavored soda water.
A little trendy.
Yeah.
A little.
And
a
it's
trendy.
Very popular, at least in Southern California. I don't know if it's a national thing. But today's our video show, and you could check it out starting on Thursday at, I don't know, 9 a.m. Eastern?
Noon Eastern.
Noon Eastern.
9 a.m. Pacific on Thursday. You could check it out. But we do, like fancy boys, we go and we get makeup for the video show, and Daddy likes to pop down the hallway after the makeup and go into the little talent area, holding room, where Daddy gets free stuff. Sometimes I get a lollipop, and sometimes I open the fridge, and they have bottled water and Gatorade, and now for the first time ever, it's fully stocked with LaCroix, so today is a success at a high level.
You're not buying a word of it at all, but I will allow you to. That's your story. You can live with that story.
Especially calling yourself daddy in a room full of men. We're not your
YOLO.
Children.
big show today. A trade involving my beloved New York Football Jets. Also, Aaron Rodgers doing some business with the Packers. Long awaited on that front. And then, of course, oh my goodness, it's that time. Every year, it's a tradition. We pick a team of Around the NFL, and coming up later today, the vitally important part of the first step of the process, nominations for a team of Around the NFL 2018, who will succeed the Los Angeles Rams in 2018 as the team that we all support as the podcast. We adopt them as a podcast. We all nominate.
Or could it be back-to-back? Rams action. We don't know.
Greg?
Well, I like that idea, but I already know that that's a non-starter, so that'll never be brought up. I'm just saying. No one wants the Rams again.
No, the Rams I thought were a nice
I would do
choice,
it again. And I feel like I've joined the process, and it still has to be completed, so I'm rooting for them this year. But I'm going to be rooting for like five teams, so I'm happy to get another one in the mix.
There you go. And one bit of housekeeping before we get to the news, as you may be aware. I'm sure you are if you're a regular listener of the show. We are heading to London for 10 days starting on Saturday. Can you believe it? And one of the events, we're doing a bunch of stuff over there. We're all excited to do it. But one of the events that personally I'm the most excited for is doing a live show from London. And we now have information. Information, Erica Tamposi. The loose cannon behind the glass. It will be held at, what is the name of this place?
The Curtain Club.
The Curtain
Ooh,
Club.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
In Shoreditch.
In Shoreditch. That's on Curtain Road.
Original.
It's all Shoreditch starting to make sense.
On Tuesday, the show begins at 7 o'clock. Keep an eye out from our respective Twitter handles. Today, Wednesday, we'll send out a link to get tickets, limited tickets. This is not going to be, this isn't Wembley Stadium. There's only X amount of tickets available to enjoy a live show with the Heroes, a special live show, by the way. We're going to make our Go Get My Lunch predictions for 2018. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll meet a bunch of people, hang out, probably have some beers after.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we do around here. So next Tuesday, live show in London at the Curtain Club. Ooh. Supplies.
We've been waiting for this for years.
Limited.
Limited.
This is what it's all about.
I mean, we'll also have the Piccadilly event on Saturday, which can house as many people as want to show up. And I think there's going to be some sort of Q&A after. And I think we'll also probably have some sort of meetup during the week. Maybe it'll just be after this live
but
show.
But we are getting...
So there's more to come.
Yeah, and we are getting... And we see the tweets of, you know, hey, guys, where are you going to be at this hour and that hour? And when can we have you come over to our house and have, like, a roast beef dinner? It's like, here's the thing. We are still learning about our schedule in small increments.
Roast beef dinner, you said.
I'm just saying. There's a lot of very nice...
The traditional very English
nice, very nice invitations, but we simply... Cannot. We don't want to put out bad information,
right.
So we're not putting out really any because we don't have any other
good
than,
choice
other
of
than Curtain Club.
Local cuisine to really make the
Listen,
story
I used
sizzle.
I used to live in England. I'll never forget. I would go over to my friend's house up the street, and his parents would sit down to these massive British dinners. Mm. And I didn't.
How old were you?
4, 5, 6 years old. I couldn't identify a single thing that I saw on any of the plates. It was not the food that I ate at my house. It was not. So.
All right. So Mark returns to his homeland. That is the subplot that should not be overlooked here. Mark returns home. Let's do some news.
Where is this offensive juggernaut we saw in the preseason?
Relax. He's been a B quarterback, not an A quarterback.
Relax.
Like it.
5 letters here. Just for everybody out there in Packerland today. R-E-L-A-X.
Ah. An original Chris Wessling composition.
Can you believe it?
Great musician, Wes. People don't know that about him. Electronic house musician.
Right. Just pop some Molly in and listen to a little A-Rod. Relax.
I'm doing things in the studio you guys don't even know about.
Like the Beatles in 1968. Just fearless.
Like Steve Aoki in 2015.
All right, we'll get to Aaron Rodgers in a second. But let's start with a big trade that went down about an hour before we came upstairs. Teddy Bridgewater, a New York Jet for a brief time, about, I don't know, 5 months or so. But in that time, he built up his value by playing very well in the preseason, by looking healthy in practice. And the Jets pulled the trigger on a trade to the New Orleans Saints, a team that before today didn't really have a clear path forward post-Drew Brees. And now they do. The terms are the Jets send Bridgewater and a fifth-round pick, I believe.
Sixth-round
pick to the Saints in exchange for a third-round pick. Chris Wessling, you wrote about this on NFL.com. Your reaction to the trade?
I think if you were sitting in Mike Maccagnan's shoes or standing in his shoes in January or February, this is the best-case scenario. For all of your plans, Sam Darnold falls to number 3. You draft him. He plays well enough that you are comfortable starting him in week 1. And Teddy Bridgewater plays so well that instead of getting like a conditional 7th rounder for him, you get a 3rd round pick for a guy that you're going to have to pay $6 million in the coming week just to put him on your roster. Hmm. So to me, whatever Mike McCagnan's expectations were, I think he had to have exceeded them.
And it gets him a pick back. He gave up 3 second-round picks plus the 1st-round pick just to move up for Darnold. So they're going to be short on young players coming up. It helps them out. And it's an all-in move for the Saints, who are trying to win this year. And as much as I'm hopeful that Teddy Bridgewater is maybe the next quarterback of the future in New Orleans, it's really complicated for that to actually happen. Drew Brees is on the cap next year for $33 million. Teddy Bridgewater is a free agent next year who may have some value. So it very well could be a one-and-done situation. It's just complicated. It reminds me a lot of the Jimmy G situation. There's obvious differences, but there's an established quarterback How is he going to handle it? Will Teddy want to sign a long-term contract extension now that sets him up to be the quarterback of the future? Maybe everyone can all agree and it works out, but it's a little complicated.
I mean, I think right now, though, it's very much about this season. The Saints and Sean Payton and Drew Brees have a Super Bowl window, and those things shut quickly. And this is what it is, the anti-Jerry Jones handling of the backup quarterback situation before Dak Prescott showed up, where the minute Tony Romo gets down, you have an absolute no-namer coming in, and the season is toast. Mm. Now you've got someone – it would have been Tom Savage. Your season is over if Tom Savage has to step in and play three or four games for some reason. Now you cannot lose those games in that division. The one thing I'd say about Teddy Bridgewater, though, it shows you when you net one of these devastating injuries, it is possible that he travels through three seasons with two pass attempts. Instead of being able to go somewhere this year and showcase yourself in a bad quarterback team where you get to play 8 or 9 starts, really impress and go out and make a lot more money next offseason, it's another year where we may not see him at all.
And there's a level of assumption that Teddy Bridgewater is now fine, which we have not seen him on the field a lot. He's played a little bit of preseason here, a little preseason there, a very brief cameo at the end of last year. Now, the knee is okay now, and if you read Ian O'Connor for ESPN, wrote a really good piece digging into the specifics of that knee injury, which, you know, he came close to losing his leg if there would have been nerve damage. It was that blown up. It was described as a war injury. That's how bad it looked. So will that knee, because we talk about Sam Bradford all the time, can his knee hold up over a full season? We don't know if Teddy Bridgewater really still can do that.
Thank you.
But I think it's a worthy gamble by the Saints because he's shown enough and he's so well respected, Wes, in league circles.
Absolutely. And I think Greg's right that it's complicated, but it gives the Saints options. Drew Brees will be 40 years old in January. And as we've seen with just about every 40-year-old quarterback except Tom Brady, when the end comes, it comes fast. You're not prepared for it. You're not ready for Peyton Manning to all of a sudden not be able to throw anymore or Brett Favre to just fall apart. And if Drew Brees falls apart, there's always the franchise tag with Bridgewater.
And let's not remember how Drew – not let's please remember. How about that?
Okay, I was going to say.
Otherwise, just forget what I'm about to say. But let's say, you know, it was Sean Payton who – took a chance essentially on Drew Brees when the Dolphins passed on Drew Brees because of knee issues and stuff for Dante Culpepper, and that set that franchise back a decade plus. And now you've got Teddy Bridgewater potentially as a final salvo for Sean Payton. If he's not there much longer, we don't know.
Connect the dots in terms of connections in the league. Bill Parcells and Teddy Bridgewater have an extremely close relationship. Bill Parcells and Sean Payton also have that deep connection.
And Jeff Ireland, who's the one, it seems to be the general manager there in New Orleans. I wonder how Drew Brees is taking
Loomis
the news.
Well, Mickey takes some fire.
People are giving Jeff Ireland, Mickey, they are feeling themselves right now because they gave up their first-round pick to go get Marcus Davenport next year, so they don't have a first-round pick. They don't have a third-round pick now because of this Bridgewater trade, and it does give them options, and I think it's worth it to possibly get a young quarterback. But it's complicated. I mean, Drew Brees just re-signed a massive contract with the Saints. He is signed through next year, and it's kind of hard for me to imagine Brees and Bridgewater on that team together next year. It might be one or the other.
Hey, I'd love to see a team going for it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you for going to go get a Super Bowl.
Also, Tom Savage. We know about Tom Savage.
Tom Savage is real gone.
Oh. Makes them better on special teams. I think Taysom Hill was going to be their backup quarterback. He had probably earned that in the third preseason week, and just because Tom Savage doesn't look great. But he's one of their best special teams players.
He is pretty fascinating.
And now he's back to the third quarterback and can play special
teams. It's like a better Joe Webb.
Yep.
And that's what you want to be. And, Greg, you mentioned it's complicated. Also, harkening back to your old MySpace days, you always had that right under Greg Rosenthal relationship status. It's complicated.
Never had a MySpace page, did you guys?
I've never even
I did,
been
actually.
On
I will say that Absolutely. First time I ever met Simone, who I now married to, we before we went on our first date, we communicated for 3 months exclusively on MySpace.
Wow.
My first interaction with my wife, also a MySpace message.
I also communicated with your wife on MySpace, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to leave Dan a little real estate here.
How dare you, sir?
All right, Erica, that'll be fine from you.
And with Teddy Bridgewater now out of the picture in Florham Park, the path is clear for Sam Darnold, which takes us to our Oh, my God. Our preseason spotlight presented by New Era. The decision is made. You will not see Sam Darnold playing in the fourth preseason game because he'll be playing week one against the Lions. So the Jets move forward with the third overall pick. And congratulations, Mark Sessler, because you got yourself two sandwiches.
So did my boy Greg.
That was it. Greg. We both got a sandwich.
We lost.
And Wes and Dan. Eesh.
Wes and I, yeah, this was not cornhole. This was a wager involving a rookie quarterback. And it's just another reminder that these teams want to get the kid in fast. And what's going on with the Browns, your Brownies, Mark, and Baker Mayfield is very unusual in the modern day. Yep. What do we think about Darnold? My one concern there, I have to say, as a Jets fan, is they play three games in 11 days to start their season. He's 21. He's the youngest quarterback in the league. He wasn't lights out in the preseason. He showed moments. Is he ready for the moment? Well, it's coming whether he's ready or not.
His next level ability to adjust to defenses is what's impressed a lot of like the player analysts like Dan Orlovsky or some other ex-quarterbacks that have watched kind of how mature he's been, which is really against almost his scouting report coming in mentally coming into the league. And if that's the case, then he's going to learn the most by playing. And what are you going to do? Play Teddy Bridgewater?
The only thing that it created – I think essentially this is what they wanted. They wanted to see him go out and essentially
earn
it.
But he proved it, too.
I think he proved it. I think he earned it. So that's why it's not like they're backing into this. The only thing that's tricky when you're on a bad team potentially like the Jets is that if he really runs into rough waters and you have to take – and you behind the scenes, you've got to rest him or something. He needs a break to get him out of the fray. And you put McCown in for a game or two. That's hard to repair. I think, Greg, you made the point with Mayfield a week or so ago that you'd rather put the rookie in if you're going to make any changes later in the game when the first guy fails. But that said, this could be a 98 Colts situation where they just let him go wire to wire. And if he stays healthy, he's going to learn a ton.
That's how they're looking at it. And the Jets, I don't think they're going to be a very good team this year. They have a bad offensive line. They have no pass rushers. The special teams is a total mess, which I don't think people don't take that into account enough when figuring out how a team's going to be.
Then it haunts you all year.
Yeah, we'll see. But I think ultimately it's the right move.
The line in Jeremy Bates / Todd Bowles / whatever the Jets have been trying to do on offense is what worries me because I think Darnold has shown that he can get it done.
That is the preseason spotlight presented by New Era. Moving on, yes, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers finally did business. The two sides agreed to terms on a four-year, $134 million contract extension rap sheet. And James Jones of NFL Network reported Rodgers also receives a record $57.5 million signing bonus and will earn more than $80 million by March alone. Rodgers had previously signed a five-year, $110 million extension in 2013. He's obviously the highest-paid player in football now, and after Mark, an off-season where it was like Jimmy Garoppolo and then Joe Blow, who's not a bad quarterback, honestly.
No, he's all right.
Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins.
Everybody's passing the hot potato. I'm the highest-paid guy. Now the guy that always should be the highest-paid is the highest-paid, and I kind of like that for some reason. It actually makes me feel comfortable.
Yeah, I don't know what he's done to earn this, but I can live with the contract. No, I think he's listen, this is a lot of this is back pay for the amount of money he should have made a long time ago. To me, it sort of stands out as the anti-Joe Flacco deal, where the minute Flacco signed that post-Super Bowl extension, everyone was going absolutely nuts. How can you possibly pay Joe Flacco this kind of money? And then you realize every quarterback's going to get paid. This is the guy that probably should have had like five contract revisions since then. He's been underpaid. No matter what he's been paid his whole career, it's always been underpaid. And so get closer to paying these guys what they deserve.
$67 million before the end of the calendar year? That's a payday.
$81 million by next March.
Yeah,
that's
I don't care about your guarantees and your could-be guarantees and your maybe guarantees or whatever. $67 million. By the time the calendar flips to 2019.
Well, and $57.5 million to sign. So that made me think of that Hard Knock scene when everyone asked, like, what went into Baker Mayfield's bank account that week. Like, what did it just say? So if you're getting the $57.5 million signing bonus, you figure Uncle Sam takes out half of that, I would guess. So that's a solid, like, 20.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers.
That's a solid, like $29 million just on Friday
right.
Shows up.
Uncle Sam could repave every road in that state with what they're taking out of his contract. So please do.
Hands
please
off do my property, Uncle Sam. I earned it.
Baker.
That's not how this works.
Johnny Government ain't touching my money. Cut to me in jail.
Well, it wasn't long ago that Stafford was the highest paid player in the NFL, and now he's the third highest paid quarterback in his own division.
Mm. Yeah, he had the highest signing bonus. It does show Kirk Cousins' contract kind of changed the game a little bit for quarterbacks. It really did make their contracts more fully guaranteed at the top.
Right.
And they're all going to be like that moving forward.
Moving on Tuesday night's edition of Hard Knocks, we saw Michael Kendricks, the former Eagles linebacker, now with the Browns, give a very honest scouting report of some Eagles players during a defensive team meeting. I woke up this morning, and the first thing I saw on the left-hand side of my little Twitter account was that Michael Kendricks was trending, and I was like thinking to myself, oh, my Hard Knocks recap. I should have led with Michael Kendricks. This is obviously a huge story. But no, unfortunately for Mr. Kendricks, he's been charged with insider trading. The U.S. Attorney's Office of the Eastern District of Pennsylvania announced that Wednesday morning. Kendricks, along with a co-defendant, were charged with one count of conspiracy to commit securities fraud and one count of securities fraud per U.S. Attorney William McSwain, a close friend of Mark Sessler's.
No.
Kendrick released a statement on it. I like how you answered to that. On Instagram, apologizing for something that he said happened, I think, 4 years ago. But I'll tell you what, speaking of Uncle Sam, Uncle Sam don't like this.
No,
I think this is how they got Martha.
Martha Stewart?
M. Stu.
Yeah.
That's how M. Stu got.
She
ended
was
up
in the
going
slammer.
In the big house.
Yep.
Knitting in her cell for a couple of years. Not a good sign for Mr. Kendricks, and I'm sure the Browns are probably looking at a roster replacement. I don't know.
Well, when this happened in our newsroom,
who knows?
Like everyone was trying, because suddenly it's like, do I work for Forbes.com? I have no idea what to do with this story. And like our desk wrote it up, but no one knew what the ramifications were. And basically, it looks like, according to some articles, that you could face a maximum of $5 million in fines. That's the lightest thing, potentially, that could happen. Or up to $25 million if it's a business, which he isn't, or 20 years imprisonment. So this is a murky swamp that Mr. Inside Trader has walked into here. That's not a crime you want to commit, just as a bit of advice.
Let's calm down, U.S. government. I mean, 20 years... guys skimming the books a little bit. Let's calm down.
But if it were lighter,
right. I
if
mean,
it were
like,
lighter, everyone would be
who among
this.
Us hasn't done like a little insider trading? It's like you get a little information, you just dump that stuff.
He said he had a high school buddy who went on to Harvard and tried to clue him into a few things, and he trusted him, and he probably shouldn't.
I wonder
what the other guy is.
Carl Nassib.
No, it's not Carl.
Yeah, but when you hear insider trading from the Browns, you expect it to be Carl Nassib.
Yeah, you would think so.
That was
but
stunning.
He should have been talking to Kendricks. They should have been listening to Kendricks.
The co-defendant is a writer for the show Black-ish.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's a quite a bizarre stew.
What a dragnet.
So.
Just blame the Ivy League guy. You know?
In other news, the Cincinnati Bengals did legal business, signing two-time All-Pro defensive tackle Geno Atkins and two-time Pro Bowl defensive end Carlos Dunlap to separate extensions on Tuesday. Atkins agreed 4 years through 2022, and what did Dunlap get?
3 years, $45 million through 2021.
So this is a very, very good, Greg, Cincinnati defensive line, and they are doing work to keep him in-house.
How about a little love for Mike Brown? You know, people talk about him
Wes?
As kind of a cheapo or, like, can't, you know, run the organization right, and he's keeping two guys throughout their whole career that have been great Bengals, and Geno Atkins especially is a guy – who knows, we might be talking about as a potential Hall of Famer someday, and they've taken care of business, kept them there the whole time.
There is a salary floor in the NFL, in large part because of Mike Brown.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I'll give these guys, like Geno Atkins has not missed a game since 2013, Dunlap not since 2012. They've been durable.
Wow.
And they've been there every single game. And Dunlap was one of the dudes that was on that trip I went on. And I'll say one thing about him compared to almost any player I've ever – like seen at all, it's like the dude is so into his diet. He refused like opportunities to drink essentially throughout the trip. Every morning working
YOLO.
Out insanely. Like he was in just tracking him since. Like he is very into going into the season in his best possible version of himself. So he
did you say his best version of himself?
A little bit of that. A little bit of that.
I thought you can't say it anymore. You just banned that on Friday.
I have already told you about this, how this works. I banned it. I can use it in its
many
forms.
No, you've been using it more lately. It doesn't make any sense.
It's more in my mind.
Because now it seems like something. It's not something you hate. And if you missed Friday's show, Mark banned the phrase. Society had it banned by Mark, living your best life. And now you're using it a lot.
I actually did not just say it a second ago
either.
I did not say it.
You said something kind of like that,
what I'm saying. Well, I mean, please. There's only so many words that are available to us. I also sometimes allow people to use it. I allowed Erica to use it in an Instagram post after she went on a giant gal pal trip to Big Bear.
Gal.
Thank you.
Did you clear it with Mark?
I did. I texted him. Yeah, I was like, hey, do you mind if I post this?
I was like, it's cool. In this situation, it feels organic.
You're a monster, Mark.
How about Dunlop and Atkins, both from the same draft class, 2010 Bengals draft class, and then the next year they draft A.J. Green and Dalton.
And they've gotten better as Atkins was pretty great right away, although it'll take him a little. Dunlop's gotten better and better as his careers go on, so you got to give a little credit to the coaches too.
In the Eagles' nest, ESPN's Adam Schefter reports that Alshon Jeffrey, their star wide receiver, will miss, quote, at least the first two games of the season as he recovers from offseason shoulder surgery. He's expected to be activated off the team's PUP list this weekend, and that's notable because if they kept him on the PUP list, that would mean he would miss six games of the regular season. So they think this is a situation, obviously, that he'll return before then, maybe as soon as week three. And just like with the Carson Wentz situation, Wes, the Eagles, in defending their championship, are smart to play the long game with one of their most important players.
Sure they are. And if you're an opponent, you hit the lottery if you play the Eagles in September.
Yeah,
because
true.
Nobody knows if Carson Wentz is going to be ready. Nobody knows if Nick Foles is going to play well. Alshon Jeffrey won't be out there. They've got a lot of guys coming back from injuries. They've got Nigel Bradham.
Nigel Bradham.
Their best linebacker suspended week one. Mm. Jordan Hicks, another linebacker coming back from Achilles. This is a banged up team right now, so you want to get them early.
Nelson Aguilar hasn't practiced much. Mike Wallace, who I think is an upgrade, hasn't really done anything in the preseason. So you're looking at like maybe Shelton Gibson is a big factor. Week one, you know, you're Dallas Goedert, the backup tight end. They're missing Timmy Jernigan for about half the year. So you're right. They've got some issues.
Yeah, I mean, they talked about that Goddard and Zach Ertz are going to be used in two tight end sets probably very, a lot. And they have the Falcons, obviously, in the kickoff. Then they have the Bucks, then the Colts. Bucks and Colts, I think the Bucks might be a little bit better than people think.
They got Ryan Fitzpatrick, though, in the Colts.
It's that's not the worst schedule for them to try to get through this, but they've got to get over their own issues.
I liked, speaking of Kendricks, one of his scouting reports was of tight end Zach Ertz. He said, 86, the best receiver on the team, but he's not somebody that loves the blocking side of being a tight end. And I like this. I like different, football parlance. I enjoy that. Mm. He doesn't want any smoke. I just like that.
And everyone in the room knew what he was saying, so it is a shared dictionary that they use.
Absolutely.
I mean, that can be used well outside of football, just life in general.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you don't want your kitchen to be smoky. Like, if something were burning and, it's all around the room, you wouldn't be
That's
really
one
into
way
that.
To use it. Yeah. Also, it kind of is a replacement for getting your hands dirty. Mm. You don't want that smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Wes, you're going to be changing diapers soon enough. You don't
is
want
that
right? smoke. It is. It's bad. It's annoying.
I think
have five younger brothers. I changed diapers for many years.
I'm looking forward to our next edition of white guys talk about the modern lexicon a few months after the fact.
He doesn't want any smoke. Finally in the news, the Packers trade. Ooh, trade alert involving a quarterback. Another one. Nice way to bookend the news. Packers trading quarterback Brett Hundley to the Seahawks. Tom Pelissero reports, our own Tom Pelissero, the compensation. From Rap Sheet, a 2019 sixth-round draft pick. Hundley, who flopped in his audition last year to be Aaron Rodgers' backup, now gets a chance to back up Russell Wilson. And Mark Sessler, the man who flopped in his audition to be the Browns' franchise quarterback last year, DeShone Kizer, has himself steady work as Aaron Rodgers' new backup.
I mean, I guess you could say the writing was on the wall when they traded for Kizer, but okay, here we go. I just – For me, I don't know how. I'd like to see behind closed doors what they fell for with DeShone Kizer, because one thing about him last year was a turnover machine. There's a lot to like, but he's an absolute turnover machine. How is that a huge upgrade over Hundley? Who Hundley was also, I think neither the answer. That's what I'd say.
Kizer got banged last year. I don't know if
it's not bad. Yeah, okay, but I'm not going to suddenly like view him as one of the steadier backups in the league. I'm not. We haven't seen that.
I'm saying maybe we shouldn't write him off because last year was a sinkhole in Cleveland. You know what I mean?
That's
a reclamation project.
Watch out for Alex Magoo in Seattle. By the way, try keeping him down. He's a deep backup.
You think he's going to make the team now?
Well, if he doesn't, then my comment will go by the wayside.
There's some buzz circling back to Hard Knocks, Mark, that Devin Cajuz, who's like the feel-good story of this season, of the tight end, might be pushing Seth DeValve, your boy, for a roster spot. Your take on that?
Well, I mean, Seth DeValve has been so involved in sort of secret community work in terms of stopping crimes. We've gone over this in the past, that maybe he's taken the eye off the ball on the football side a little. You've got to keep that day job intact to hide who you really are. And Cajuz is working with we're like magic crystals and stones. So yes. There's a lot happening with that
witch.
Tight end group. A lot.
A lot to track there. That's what's happening in the news. Let's do some housekeeping here. The wait is nearly over. Football is almost here, which means it's fantasy football season, and FanDuel has never been more fun or easy to play. If you are not a fantasy expert, then FanDuel is clearly the place to play. FanDuel is something for everyone, and there are more ways to win than ever before. How did Greg do with his ad reads on Monday? I didn't catch the show, by the way.
Well, Greg did fine, and Patrick Claibon handled a couple as well.
We split them up.
Excellent job.
Gave Claibon a few.
And I noted that I'm not allowed to perform that service, according to one person downstairs.
I noticed.
Really?
You don't remember that incident?
Oh, I do.
I certainly remember it.
Yes.
There is
my direct report.
There's a new Reddit thread devoted strictly to Greg's ad read.
Really? What's it called? What did Greg call it?
I think it's called In Support of Greg's Ad Read.
Really?
By the way, Dan, that person is not your direct report.
No.
You are the direct report.
I tried to give Claibon all four of them. He only took two.
I was fine with your ad read, but my boss said that you did a poor
ad read. Right, but you just called your boss your direct report, which would make you
my direct report.
Yes, it is in reverse. You are not the boss of anyone.
FanDuel really getting their money's worth with this one.
Here's how it works.
Joey Watts.
One team to win each week, and you can't refuse that team again for the rest of the season. This, again, is the free $250,000 Survivor contest. This locks before week one, so don't miss your chance and sign up now to get into that free $250,000 Survivor contest. Just go to FanDuel.com/AroundTheNFL. That's FanDuel.com/AroundTheNFL. Plus, new users get a $20 bonus when they make their first deposit on FanDuel.
Free money.
Come play at FanDuel.com/AroundTheNFL. And while we're here, Mark Sessler, we got a read for you.
Let's see what we have here. Intro. Not supposed to read that part. You may or may not have heard, but Lowe's is a new home of Craftsman, which means that at Lowe's, you'll find an ever-growing selection of mechanics tools, tool storage, and more in store and online, ready to help tackle projects throughout your home, Greg. Greg hates tools. You're going to warm up after you hear this. If one of those projects happens to be in a really tight space to get to, then you definitely need to check out the 120-tooth ratchet. It has a 3-degree arc swing, you guys. Do you know what that is? Do you know what it does?
Yeah, it's an arc.
Well, I'm supposed to say we don't either, but we do now. Oh. So you were supposed to answer in the negative there, Dan. A 3-degree arc swing means you can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots. That should make it easy to tackle any auto or do-it-yourself project on your list. Plus,
wrap
they come
up
in a gunmetal chrome finish that's not only sharp-looking. Should have had a hyphen there, please.
They're
copy people.
The music.
It makes them corrosion-resistant. Cool, right, guys? Now this is called the call to action section. Shop the new home of Craftsman today at Lowe's.com/around. That's Lowe's.com/around.
Very nice. All right, let's move on now and get to it. It is time. Oh, it's that time of year. Let's fly. Loose cannon.
Who will be the team of the right. Now's the time to shine a light.
special honor.
There it is, Dick Banks, the one-man house band on loan from the Dave Damaschek football program. The team of Around the NFL. Every year we pick one team that we get behind as a group. They become our collective team, and that's good because this is a podcast that houses a Patriots fan, a Jets fan, a Brown fan, and a former Bengals fan.
Recovering
Bengals fan who is views himself as something of a free agent, if you will, Wes.
Yeah, an agnostic, a free agent, a searcher, seeker.
And a man that carries stones and crystals.
No, I don't get into caduced stones and crystals. That's a lot of hokum.
Let's go over, before we get into the nomination process, and remember, we each nominate a team, and for a team to be the team around the NFL, it has to be unanimous. All four of us must agree that is the team. 2017, the Los Angeles Rams. We got on board. There was some positive buzz around the Rams entering the season, but I think we still kind of got in there on the ground floor before they had their final 11-5
season. No one knew
what
they would be when we picked them as team of ATL.
So that was good. The year before was?
Vikings.
The Minnesota Vikings,
which I would say was, on my part, a very forward-thinking exercise, seeing what they would become, but just
right.
A little too
off. Well, like choosing the only season where Mike Zimmer didn't overachieve or didn't make the playoffs. Basically, they're the one bad Mike Zimmer
that
season.
That is another way to put it. And what I like is that was a unanimous vote, but by the end of the season, apparently only I voted for them the way this show played.
That was self-inflicted. Yeah, that was all in your own mind.
Subplots ever in the history of this program was the Vikings that year started off 5-0. And then they proceeded to lose a number of heartbreaking games, losing by three points, 2 points, 1 point.
It was a mess.
And Mark getting more and more uncomfortable and self-conscious about being the man that nominated the Vikings.
Well, just insane text during Monday Night Football about my God, people are going to – you like turned totally against them by the time they were 5-3.
They embarrassed me. They embarrassed me. But at this simultaneously – Dan was acting like retroactively that he had voted for the Raiders. And this
I nominated
was a whole,
the Raiders.
Right.
A very entertaining Raiders team
right.
that went 12-4. Another team that was kind of under the radar. I always thought that was the team. So I was
the
little,
only year they overachieved.
Yes,
so
I was
nice
a little
job,
salty yeah. that the Raiders didn't get picked. So maybe the Vikings failing was more validation.
It was a tense environment where I think we even had to have a couple conversations as a group outside of the podcast to discuss.
The year before, speaking of tense, I believe that was the year 2015 of the then San Diego Chargers.
No, that was the Cardinals.
Cardinals was the first year, correct?
Panthers was the first
Panthers,
year.
Panthers, Cardinals, Chargers, some order.
We could have figured this out.
It was Panthers.
The show,
Panthers was the first year, then the Chargers, and then the Cardinals, Vikings, Rams. That's the order. So that's close enough.
This is the sixth year, right?
This must be the sixth year based off that. So we're going to each nominate a team, and then we will make the announcement, make it official next week from London, maybe even at our live show. That could be fun.
But, unless we can't all agree.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. It will get decided one way or the other. So why don't we get into it? Again, the floor is we each get the floor to really make a sell, and this is your chance. So the more research you did, the more thought you put into it, you'll probably get what you put in. So Mark Sessler, why don't you get us going with your 2018 nomination for the team of Around the NFL. Team of ATL.
Wes talked about searching and growing and changing throughout this process. And I for a long time, many years, said that I simply would not even root for, much less often not even watch, a team that plays in a dome. For aesthetic reasons, drove me nuts. Just felt like I like the elements. I like the snow.
The entire podcast you've been talking about.
Yes. Yeah, but I need to change on some things in life, and this is one of them. And the team that I'm nominating, number one, plays in a dome. Number two, it is a city that if I had a chance to just vanish for maybe 3 or 4 decades, just ghost all of civilization,
East
all of society. It is not East Rutherford.
It's an outdoor
arena. This is a city I might pick. It is high on my radar. I had one of the best weeks ever there before one of our Super Bowls. Dan and I hung out late into the night listening to incredible music, drinking incredible, imbibing incredible drinks out of small plastic cups from place to place up and down the street. This is a city.
You can find that in most
some
cities.
Not so
yes,
small.
Yes. This is a city where Greg Rosenthal in his youth, in his heyday, or maybe I should say his salad days, if more appropriate, hung out with comedian Anthony Jeselnik doing a host of mind-expanding drugs, among other things.
Listen to a bunch of hot rap.
Listened to hot rap, became a rap fan of many sorts.
Got jailed.
I think we know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the New Orleans Saints.
Wow.
Because...
Okay.
Here's the thing. The Saints were also a team on my radar for years and years for consistently churning out milquetoast 8-8 campaigns where you just couldn't figure out...
You didn't like the GM being the GM of the football team and the basketball
operation. Did not at all.
You hated that.
Did not at all. But last year...
It's still the case. But
it's but last year, the results were different. I feel that Sean Payton has somewhat proven again how incredibly creative he can be as a coach. You've got Drew Brees and... Look, it's probably not the final season, but this team right now in an incredibly stocked NFC is going to be in a big matchup almost every single week. And this Teddy Bridgewater trade helped a lot in my decision-making because they're not the team in my NFL.com picks that went out today who I picked to win the Super Bowl. So that doesn't really matter to me. But I love that they went out and got a capable backup. If anything happens to Breeze, you have Teddy Bridgewater in there. You have one of the most fascinating backfields in all of football with Alvin Kamara and Mark with a K, Ingram, when he comes back from his little PED ban. You've got talent all over the place on both sides of the ball. I think they're in the most fascinating division in all of football. And this is my team. I never thought I would nominate the New Orleans Saints as team of ATL. But I looked at their schedule, and from wire to wire, they have incredible matchups. And I think even if they don't even win the division, if they got in as a wild card, they're the kind of team that could get hot with that coach and that quarterback and get back to the Super Bowl. It's almost a decade ago they did it the first time. How about you close this whole thing with another?
Way to get out ahead of the curve on those plucky upstart Saints that are Super Bowl favorites.
Oh, damn.
Well, we continue to pick hot teams. Well, I guarantee you, it will not be the last Super Bowl type team in this nomination process, especially from the little gigglers over here.
I know. I'm thinking of...
you guys are unbelievable to do that. That is some unbelievable stuff. I know what's coming up.
I'm responding to...
I know what's coming up.
I'm responding to Chris Wesseling's just burn. Sick burn.
Nice burn. This guy picked the Panthers. This guy's always going...
Let's remember,
the Cardinals were a Super Bowl team. The Panthers were a Super Bowl team. Come on.
Let us all remember, of course, that... This is really the team of West team.
Right. See, I will not pick up an underdog type team because it will
Wes
never get through.
Wes is very passionate
through.
About
it
this exercise.
It will never get through.
Well, 3 years later, you still have not thanked me for trying to save you from the Chargers' boring-ass team that one
year. It's just that, we know that underdog teams that might go 7-9 or 8-8 but be fun the entire way will never win this contest. Mm. So I went with one that is a mixture
Don't worry.
No. I'm just saying.
Nice there are no
I
rules.
I believe in this team.
There's no rules.
I believe
there's
this team will be fun.
Hey, boys.
This will be fun.
Boys. Take a deep breath.
Okay.
We will.
Okay. You guys can keep going.
Okay. Thank you,
very
Erica.
Nice, Erica.
We appreciate it. I like it just for the storyline of the Saints playing the Super Bowl in Atlanta. And then to make it even a little more exciting, let's make Teddy Bridgewater the starting quarterback. I don't know what happens to Drew Brees in the meantime. And we're flying.
That would be an incredible
That would be the biggest like poke in the eye of the city of Atlanta ever. It would at least be intriguing.
Why are you trying to poke Atlanta in the eye?
I'm not.
Believe me, he's not.
All right. Let's move on. Mark, don't get upset. You have to stay strong.
No, what I see it as, I'm standing up for my selection.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm standing up for it.
Now, Chris Wesson, what I said by team of West TL is, Wes is a man. He's a man of his principles. He's a man who, in a lot of ways, is the face of this exercise because he's a guy that doesn't have a team. A guy that loves to eat tape. This guy, he likes the smoke. Is that what it is? Is that what the term was?
No. I mean, that is...
He doesn't like the smoke.
It
doesn't
makes
want
sense.
The smoke.
That doesn't make sense.
He eats tape for dinner. Andy Benoit, you're not eating tape like Wes. Drink your glass
you're
of milk.
You're eating more tape than me.
Maybe. Anyway.
drink your milk.
Anyway, so Wes, a man that is very strong in his opinions. If you need a reminder, when you see him in London... Tell him that LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan and see what happens.
You'll be laughed in the face.
Will not go well for you.
He's a passionate man that it's going to be very hard to swing his vote away from whoever he's about to nominate. And what typically happens, the Charger season notwithstanding, as Wes pounds the table for a team. He wears us down, and we just end up going with whatever Wes picks. So this
that's
is
not
Vegas.
Totally. That's a little unfair.
The heavy favorite.
Absolutely inaccurate. You went with the Chargers over my dead body 1 year. Last year, I wasn't even on the show when you guys picked the Rams.
Were you happy with our pick last year?
Well, yeah, I picked them to go to the playoffs and won sandwiches off.
I think we picked – part of it was, if I recall, we kept that in mind.
I think we were trying to include you in that.
We were trying to appreciate that.
Yes.
The first year, it was like a natural evolution to the Panthers for the most part.
Yes.
So, you know.
Yes, that's true. Yep.
And they're not all going to be winners. Sometimes we back the – I thought the Chargers team was a fascinating team, as I recall. But that's the past, Wes.
Well, another one of your inaccurate statements. I am not married to this team I'm about to propose. I don't feel that great about them. It's early in the process. There's no team that's really got me like – I don't have a fever for anyone yet. Hmm. But this team has a little something for everyone but Mark.
Okay, let's hear it.
But we were told downstairs in our meeting that, hey, if you like a team, you know, just try to go for it. And this is a team that Mark has tried to disband.
this ain't going to work.
Dan, it is it's probably the best special teams player in the league and your fantasy kicker, Justin Tucker.
He's home.
It's the team that Greg believes will win the AFC North over the Steelers. It is a team that has a lot of new faces, a lot of exciting rookies that will be fun to watch, a whole new wide receiver core that could help salvage Joe Flacco. Speaking of Joe Flacco, looks to me like a much more fun guy to watch this year. He looks streamlined to me. He's moving well. Much more fun quarterback to watch than in the past couple of years.
He had me until this Flacco part of this.
And then if Flacco doesn't work out, Lamar Jackson could be one of the most fun players in the NFL to watch and a defense that's there every year. To me, the Ravens are kind of exciting.
I have to say, I kind of like the Joe Flacco redemption arc. I know he's not anybody's favorite player, but I feel like he was kind of dead and buried. I remember when Steve Smith completely put him 6 feet underground minutes after Lamar Jackson was drafted 32 overall. Smith did it on live TV. I think he said Joe Flacco is going bye-bye. It was something very disrespectful of a Super Bowl MVP, let's be honest, who is even – before the ACL tear a couple of years ago, he was great in that Patriot playoff game where they very nearly left.
I've never seen Patriots fans more scared of a player than they were Joe Flacco a few years ago.
Joe Flacco, and that guy throws a deep ball, was briefly connected to a Johnny Unitas film project, and I always liked
that.
Just never got off the ground, I guess, the funding, or maybe something happened. But, yeah, I like that. I don't like the Ravens. But the Ravens team is something that I think we're all on board with except for Mark. And I understand why you're not, Mark.
Well, I think you make good points, number one. And I try to get over some of the Raven stuff on some level, but I would probably need to erase like 98% of what's inside of me to like suddenly be sitting around pumping my fists for Ravens victories on Sundays. That said,
like
in
you
general,
were doing with the Rams last year.
Right.
Like, yeah!
There have been a couple. I think I was in like post-Vikings hangover scenario last year. But here's the thing.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the Ravens are much more intriguing this season and this time around than they have been for me in a long time. I mean, you basically went out of your way to pick a team that Cleveland moved to Baltimore to become the Ravens and torture my – not.
He just picked the team.
I'm just saying, but it's like – but in terms of scenarios, this is about as impossible of a candidate as you could bring up for a unanimous vote. But I'm willing to let it just gestate and see how
I feel. Let me ask you this. The other team – well, one of the other teams I was really thinking about was – the Bengals. Would they have had a better chance with you than the
Ravens?
Much
better. Okay. I respect the Bengals. Mm.
And you do.
I have to admit. The Bengals did not steal the Cleveland Browns out of Cleveland.
I don't feel too – I would go along with most teams, and the Ravens are more interesting to me than usual. But I in my heart, they kind of are on the short list of teams that I will never – like watching them play against another team, I'm never rooting for the Bengals.
Does anyone find them –
I don't know why. Maybe it's the Patriots fan in me. I don't know.
Does anyone find them like especially likable historically?
Well, yes. When Ray Lewis was there, I never liked him. I can tell you that. But and Terrell Suggs is a hard guy to root for.
Likeable historically, you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, I feel like they've been one of the most well-run franchises in the NFL since they've been in existence.
I think I guess like, you know, if you were a Bengals fan, you probably wouldn't feel that way about them, but like it's a little different when you know there is still a human fan side of it, and this is a tall order.
All right, let's move on to the other side of the table. And for the first time ever that I can recall, because we come to these decisions on the nominees independently, it turns out that Greg and I both are going to nominate the same team. I'll get it going, and Greg's going to come in and be the little Craig Kimbrell.
Close it down.
A Bo Sox ref for you there. I'll be the Louis Severino here. So let's get to it. The Atlanta Falcons.
Wes making a funny
I'm
face.
I'm perplexed that, like, we had always said we're not going to go for the front runners and the obvious Super Bowl contenders, and now we've, like, three out of four people.
It's to
yeah,
me,
gotta,
what is...
got to go for that plucky upstart organization, the Baltimore Ravens.
There is something...
They haven't been in the playoffs in, what, 4 years?
We nominate the teams that are fun to watch, that to me have fun narratives attached to them, good stories to tell. And I think the Falcons, it's a great story of a team looking to get over the hump, a team loaded with talent in a league where the window never stays open for long, and you don't know how much longer this core group, especially on the offensive side of the ball, will be playing together at this level. And in each of the past 2 years, they were knocked out of the playoffs in devastating fashion by the eventual Super Bowl champion. And I think last year, we were at the Coliseum when they took out the Rams in the wild card playoffs, and they looked as good as anybody in the league at that point. They go into Philadelphia, and they get into a rock-throwing match with the Eagles, and they break down. They have four shots from inside 10 yards to win the game, and they cannot get it done. That hurt. That doesn't even come close to what happened at the Super Bowl the year before, when, of course, they had the infamous meltdown against the Patriots. And the Falcons, and I'm going to throw it to Greg and just add this, the Falcons this year are coming back, looking to get over the hump on the year where the Super Bowl is being played in their building in Atlanta. And it reminds me of Super Bowl 51, the night before. All of us as a group, Keith Hansis was in town, all of our friends that we had brought to the Super Bowl, we made the ill-fated decision to go from one bar to go find what we were told was a really good barbecue place in Houston.
That was an absurd journey. I will never forget that.
And we went on a long journey by foot because you couldn't travel anywhere by Uber or cab because the downtown was basically in lockdown the night before the Super Bowl. And we made this long journey, and the place had run out of meat. So it was closed. It almost boarded up, as I recall. And we were kind of on the shady side of town, I remember. And we were like, oh, okay, what's going on here? Right about 100 yards away was the Falcons team, the Falcons fans hotel. They had taken over like a dumpy Holiday Inn. And it was a party going on in front of that hotel. And it to me, and especially with the Patriots on the other side, it was like, oh, this is so fun. This is like the dream as a Jets fan of going to the Super Bowl and your team being in it. These people are having the times of their lives. So I'm thinking about what would happen if this team got over the hump and they won it in their hometown. That place would be an amazing party, and we'd be at the party. So I want to see the Falcons get over the hump. Greg?
I want to see excellence rewarded. That's why I'm picking them today, and maybe I'll throw out, you mentioned the Bengals before, and maybe that's a conversation we could have because I'd be in on the Bengals too. But I want to see, instead of an upstart, a team that's done it all the right way, that kind of makes decisions the right way, that's built the team the right way, that I enjoy watching play football, that has a great storyline in terms of it would be incredible for this fan base. And really, Atlanta sports fans in general have had a lot of pain over the last 20 years. They could enjoy a moment in the sun. And they've been building to this moment. And Dan Quinn's been building this defense. I think this defense is a lot of fun to watch. So it doesn't matter which side of the ball is on the field. I enjoy watching this team play, and they've been building to something. And NFL can be so random that there's something in me that just feels like the Falcons deserve to have that moment, that this group, they're not going to be together forever, like Dan said, and this is the year that I'm kind of hoping it all comes together, that Grady Jarrett and Deion Jones and Matt Ryan and Calvin Ridley and this whole group just plays great and is fun to watch, and we're along for the ride, and we do it all the way to Atlanta, which is going to be a party for a week, except for the day that we go to Tybee, which will be an even bigger party. Do it for the Tybee people.
Nicely done, tying Tyvee into it there, was Greg.
Call me Kimbrel.
I mean, this was a great preseason we all had, and I think we should, you know, acknowledge our mulligan and do it all over again.
This reminds me of like that Broncos team that got whacked in the Super Bowl and returned 2 years later to win it.
Whacked in the Super Bowl, so already it's a totally different situation. That the Falcons have been right on the doorstep. They could taste their first Super Bowl. They've never won before. This is an organization that has zero Super Bowls.
I'm very pro Falcons.
Different than the Broncos.
It still takes resilience, though, for a lot of the same people 2 years later to get back to that game at all and then find a way to win it. And I thought that was something that changed everything I thought about that Broncos team and that era of that Broncos team. This Falcons team is as well coached as there is in the league, and their front office, we've been talking about them for months, and Matthew Zickas, one of our producers, knows firsthand that there was a lot of support for the Falcons, but there is also a show to do. And I will say one thing, that you can say these are all front-running Super Bowl teams, and they are certainly in that conversation. The NFC has about eight of those teams.
Powerhouses.
They have about eight of those teams, and the thing is, when you pick a team from the NFC South, you got to get out of that division first, whether it's the Saints or the Falcons or the Panthers. Yeah. That's a really tough chore to begin with. So it's no cakewalk. We're not picking the Packers of the last 6 years that just rolled through the North.
The Packers would be a much better pick.
Well, I'm open to just picking any team, whether they're bad or good or whatever, if it's a team that you enjoy watching. Like you mentioned the Bengals. To me, that's a out of left field, interesting choice just because they're so random. And I would think about the Bengals, but it sounds like right now we don't have a team that's just like jumping off. Like here's the reality. I'm in on the Rams and the Chargers. I just know that you guys aren't going to go with them. Like
Bengals.
I'm still all in on the Chargers. I'd love to see Philip Rivers do it. I just kind of feel like no one's going to go back to that well.
This is a higher quality version of the Bengals, but this is a team where we've all agreed that their quarterback is the absolute middle of the league. And Andy Dalton. And that the coach is the absolute middle of the league. And is that what we're –
I think it's too cute by half to all of a sudden say we're going to get behind the Bengals. And a little disingenuous that we've been burying them for
year, though. Why? But I like change – I change who I like depending on the year.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the Patriots.
To me, the point
of the
exercise is to get in on a team before other people do.
And you're I didn't think that was the point of the exercise.
Well, I think we all agreed.
That was always a part
of it. For each of us, the exercise means something a little bit different. That's been part of the issue.
It wasn't until this year that people were like, oh, yeah, we should go for the powerhouse teams. There used to be a little shame
involved in that. Cardinals team that went to the NFC Championship
this is revision history.
Was fantastic.
Yeah, but we got them before they were good.
Well, actually, they were 8-1 with Carson Palmer the year before we picked them. But.
And what were they total?
Right, but
– yeah.
Listen, saying they weren't a total.
Gotta love the seg. A lot of juice, a lot of heat. Erica, do you feel that coming through the glass?
Yeah, it's crazy out here.
Palpable, right?
Definitely.
So anyway, there's the nominees.
There are four teams that will not, or three teams that will not be there on the NFL.
The Atlanta Falcons.
That's true.
All right. Do we have any applause for each of these?
We're going to – okay, never mind.
All right. The Atlanta Falcons.
Wait, are we going to go through with this farce?
The Cincinnati Bengals.
Woo. Wait, they're out there too?
Wait, now they're out there?
Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens. And the New Orleans Saints. Those are the three nominees now. Does that mean it's definitely the team of ATN? Maybe not. But that's who we've nominated today. We'd love to hear from you on Twitter and on the subreddit. And again, a reminder, the Around the NFL goes to London next week, and we will have a live show on Tuesday night from the Curtain Club in Shoreditch, London. Check out the Around the NFL handle on Twitter or any of our handles, quite frankly, to get information on how to get tickets, and tickets are extremely limited. So be sharp. I hope you're listening to this podcast early rather than later, because I'm sure whoever gets this stuff first will get the tickets first. Bang. That's it. That's it. That's the end of the show. Wait, can we close out with the Packers song instead? Kind of into a relaxed song.
Relax.
All right, this is Dan Hansa signing off.
We need this after that.
For a Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, and the loose cannon behind the glass. Till Friday.
Letters here, just for everybody out there in Packerland today. R-E-L-A-X.
Relax. You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.